We have a mighty God that is worthy of our praise. And as we look to Him this morning, He is more than able to supply exactly what we stand in need of. And I'm so thankful that we can, by and through the blood of Jesus Christ, come boldly to a throne of grace in prayer together and let our petitions be made known unto God. I feel the Lord truly bless Brother Charles with the words that I needed to hear in a way of prayer. And we know every good thing comes from the Lord, and we give Him the praise and the honor and the glory for that. But it's already been a good morning, hadn't it, to be able to sing the hymns that honor and glorify the Lord, to be able to reach out and hug and greet one another in Christian love. And I believe that is a true love that is not filled with hypocrisy or show, but that can only come from the heart of God's children. And without the love of God in us, by the gift of God, we would not have that love to express to one another. And so we're in a blessed place this morning when you have those who truly care about you, concerned for you, and praying for you, and you feel a kinship to, closer than the ties of nature. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the work and the wonderful grace of Almighty God. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I encourage you to do that. I'd like to read to you today from the Gospel of Luke, a very familiar passage, but one that's very much on my mind this morning. And we'll begin reading at verse 11 of chapter 15 of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 15, beginning right at verse 11. We'll read, the Lord willing, down to the end of the chapter, which is down to verse 32. So Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. And I know this will be very familiar to each and every one of you this morning. I love when we're able to have our pure mind stirred up by way of remembrance. When we hear those things that we maybe have heard many times before, but are able to be remembering them again, and they get renewed in our thinking. And so much of what we hear when we come to church is the same thing we've heard in the past. And we learn new things as God opens our eyes and we grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. And there's always more to be seen in any scripture, no matter how many times we've heard it preached on or how many times we've studied it. There's always more in the depth of God's Word. Unlike any other book in the world, God's Word is His unsearchable riches. And what a wonderful thing when the Lord enlightens us and allows us to remember things we've learned before, as well as learn some things maybe we haven't seen that are, we don't want any new thing that is not in the book. We want those things that are written in the book, which are not really new. They may be new to us as we learn them, but they're not new. We want those old truths, that old path, the way, the truth, the life, the gospel to be declared, and that's good news that's come down from the Lord. And if we rightly divide any passage of the Bible, we'll come up with the gospel. The gospel message is there if the Lord bless us. And I ask you to pray for me and pray for one another that we can be blessed together as we look at this passage. And it says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. And as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And what a wonderful, wonderful parable, lesson the Lord has left for us on record here. One of the things we want to note in this parable, in this lesson, is that we have a father here who had two sons. And they were his sons, no matter what. They were his sons because they were born in his family. They belonged to the father. We don't have a father who had two sons who became sons because of something they did or something they did not do. We don't have any sons here that lose being a son because of where they live or what they've done or how they've acted or how they've behaved. We don't have any sons that were sons because they had followed some legal requirement of being sons. They were sons because they were born sons, and they were always sons. They never ceased to be sons. When they were obedient, they were sons. When they were disobedient, they were sons. When they were hard-headed, they were sons. When they were in their right mind or moved by the grace of God to have a heart to know what they were having and enjoying by the grace of God, they were sons. There never was a question of who they were in the relationship they had with the Father. And I want to say that because there are many people today that believe one is a child of God based on some action on the part of the person. Either they do something or they don't do something. They're obedient or they're disobedient. They're in the right mind or they're in the wrong mind. And they go in and out of sonship based on all of that. There's much, much doctrinal error in the world that is in regard to that. And there's many, many ideas in the world about happiness and joy and peace and rest and how it is to be found. And this lesson is very much clarifying and telling us as God's children, those who are in relationship with God, those who are the sons and the daughters of God, based on not what you've done or haven't done, based on not what you have thought or haven't thought, but based on the very will of God. Because God's children are His children because He loved them and He chose them and He elected them and He sent His Son for the elect and the chosen. And the Son died for them and paid a sin debt for them and washed them in His own blood. And they were born of God in the work of God, born from above. And that birth was as the wind bloweth where it listeth, as we read in John 3. And you can hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone, notice that, who's born of the Spirit of God. They're born from above, born again. And that work happens not because a man wants it to happen, not because some confession of faith is made, because until God first works, you have no faith to be able to move your mouth, to make a confession of faith. What has to happen first in any individual's life, that is one of the elect, and all of the elect will be called effectually. You have to be called by God from above, where He quickens you and He makes you alive. And the Bible calls that a new birth. It calls it regeneration. It calls it being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Not according to the will of man or of blood. It isn't in your bloodline. Your children aren't born again because you're born again. It doesn't come that way, but it comes by the will of Almighty God. And His word is this, that everyone He foreknew, He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. And those whom He predestinated, them He also called. And that calling is an effectual calling of the Holy Spirit, where one is brought out of a state of death in sin, and he's made alive in Christ. And you're born begotten. You didn't become a son. You did. All that happened because you are sons. Because you are sons, you receive the Spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. But that is nothing. There's nothing in obedience or disobedience, in the action of the person or the inaction of the person, that has anything at all to do with that. That is the sovereign will and work of Almighty God. Thanks be to God that you and I can't mess up our salvation. If you belong to Him, He loves you today because He's always loved you and He always will love you. And there's absolutely nothing that can separate you from the love of God. And that love of God is manifest in Jesus Christ, our Lord, because He came, because God so loved the world, that is His elect family. He came and sent His own, Jesus came, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and Jesus, the only begotten Son, came, and you and I today have the relationship we have with our Father because of what Jesus has done for us. And because we were born of the Father, begotten of the Father, we are His. We're His body. It is His. The body He's given us belongs to Him. The soul that He's regenerated belongs to Him. And the Spirit that He's worked in us, the regenerated Spirit, the Spirit of God that's taken up His abode in our heart, is all from Him. And one day, every one of His, without the loss of one of them, will be with Him in heaven and immortal glory, irregardless of obedience, disobedience, right, whether we walk right or whether we walk in rebellion against God. Now, I'm not encouraging rebellion. I'm not encouraging walking against. Matter of fact, this passage encourages everything but that. But I'm telling you, the relationship of a father to a son does not change based on man and what men do. And I am so thankful that God's little children, not one of them, could possibly fall out of the almighty hand of God, in which not only their names are written, but they themselves are inscribed. And that's God's work. And I'll tell you, you look all over this world, you'll find a lot of things preached in this world, a lot of things, even a lot of people who talk about the Bible and talk about Jesus and declare a lot of things. But I'm telling you, there are very few places where you hear salvation is completely in the finished work of Almighty God. And that's so absolutely important for you and I to understand today, so that you and I are not praising man. We're not patting ourselves on the back. We're not being those scribes and Pharisees that He's talking to. But we find ourselves numbered among the publicans and the sinners, where there is a message of hope and a message of help. Listen, if I'm feeding anything else than that today from this pulpit, or any place in this world is preaching from a pulpit that is feeding anything else other than the complete sovereign work of Almighty God in saving His people from their sins, they're simply shelling out pus for swine, and God's little children will never be able to eat that, and they'll never find peace, and they'll never find rest. Though their heart is touched by the hand of God and they're so hungry, they're starving. That's the lesson today. The lesson is not about how to become a child. It's how to be an obedient child. It's not about how you get get yourself straightened up. It's who you go to get help from. It's where do you turn when you're heart sick? Where do you turn when you're heartbroken? Where do you turn when sin has so invaded your life that you feel overwhelmed by it, that you're broken down, that you realize, though you may have walked in it a long time and didn't even know you were in trouble, now you know you're in trouble. You know I need help. You know I need something to eat. I'm not happy. I'm in trouble in this world. This world seems to be getting along on its way, but I'm not at home here. I need some encouragement. I need to know how to live and how to walk and how to talk. I need to know how to praise God. I need to know how it is that I can hold His hand, or what more importantly, how He can hold me. I need to know those things. And that doesn't make me it doesn't teach me how to be His, because listen, you either belong to Him or you don't. Some people say, I don't know whether I like that or not. Well, you can like it or you can lump it. But I'm telling you, what the Bible says very clearly is that He didn't wait around for you and me to make a choice for Him. That before the very foundation of the world, He chose us in Christ. And He did everything necessary that none of His children that He loved in covenant before the foundation of the world will be ever lost. We're not going to get home to glory and be crying because one of God's little children didn't get there. Because I'm telling you, we have a God bigger than that. We have a mighty God, a sovereign God. We have a Father who had a love for His children. And in this lesson, He teaches that His eye is on His children, wherever they are, whatever they're doing, wherever they've been. So wherever you've been, whoever you are, whatever you've been doing, listen, men may not know that. I may not know that. You probably don't want me to know that. I surely don't want you to know all about me. But I'm telling you, we stand today before a God who knows our innermost thoughts, whose eyes are in every place, beholding the good and the evil and all that I am. So how dare me think I'm so much when I know a God who knows better, knows all about me. And may I stand before the brethren with that understanding. That if I'm anything at all today, I'm just a publican and a sinner whose hope is in a Savior who is a complete and a wonderful Savior. And I'm telling you, with that, I've got a place to put on a robe. With that, I've got shoes to put on my feet. With that, I've got a ring to put on my hand. With that, I have a calf that is killed and made merry, and what a place to be merry. I have found in the fellowship of the gospel among God's little children a place where I can weep and I can laugh and I can be happy and I can be at home and I can feel the presence of the Lord. In a world so mixed up, I find solid ground and I find rest to a weary soul. And I have found that in my life. And it's not been out there in the world, in the ideas of the world, in the thoughts of the world, in the ways of the world. I'll tell you what I found out there. I found exactly what the old prodigal son found out there. You know, you may have grown up in this. I think this is a lesson especially for those who might have grown up in this. Who might have seen it young. Who may have been touched by the hand of God. Now listen, if God's hand hadn't touched you, you can be drugged to an old Baptist church every day of your life. You can be brought there, and the only thing you'll want to do is leave. The whole time that you're there, you're waiting for it to be over so you can get out of there. And even God's little children, when their mind isn't right, when their thought isn't right, when their heart isn't right, when they get off track, they get to thinking like that. And the thing is, God's little children ought not think like that. The world can't do anything but think like that. See, that's the difference. God has worked in us, if we indeed are born of His Spirit, the ability by the grace of God to think different than the world, to behave different than the world, to love not the world, to think how we're supposed to think. But if we're not careful, even as God's little children, we can slip back where that old man was, and we won't lose our sonship. But we'll lose our fellowship. We'll lose our closeness. We'll lose what we've enjoyed in the many hours of prayer that we've been able to spend where you find great peace. I was told this morning that prayer helps me a great deal when I'm having trouble and I'm having some problems, that I can pray. And I find that when I pray, things get better. Have you found that to be the case? When you pray, things get better? Sometimes things don't even change, but they're better because I'm praying. And I'm telling you, when you leave a prayer, things don't get better, they get worse. And it isn't because God isn't there and on His throne and in control. As a matter of fact, in the case of this little prodigal son, if you want me to, if we'll call him that, the Lord's eye was never off of him. The father knew where he was before he ever started coming back home. The father saw him afar off. He didn't have to wait till he got there and knocked on the door and said, "Oh, I'm surprised you come back, young man." He knew where he was because his eye never left him. And I believe this is a very picture of God the Father, whose eye is on every one of His children when they're running in this world, when you and I were doing all that cutting up, when He before, maybe in a case of before regeneration ever took, over in our life, we have to run in this world and do anything. And until you're born of the Spirit of God, you won't have a mind to serve God. You won't have a will or a desire to serve God. You won't. And the only thing that you'll hear when someone tells you about the importance of worshiping God is you'll say, "That's foolishness. That surely sounds like no good time to me." You know, you go out and describe what we do in an old Baptist church on a weekend of worship to someone in this world who hadn't been touched by the hand of God, and they'll say, "That sounds more like torture than a good time." And you say, "You mean I've got to sit there and listen to preaching in the morning and preaching in the evening, and when you get done, all you do is talk about the Lord, and you hug one another all the time, and you're doing this and you're doing that, what is in that? You're missing so much of what this world offers." Sometimes God's little children, when they've been caught up and lived in that, when they're young, they'll think, "Oh, there's so much this world holds that I just can't wait to get away from this old Baptist church and these people, and I can go out and take my fill of this world. There are things I want to do. There's things I want to live in. There's things I want to be. I just got my eye on this and eye on that." And listen, God's little children, even you and I today, we need to battle not to fall in love with this world. I thought of that verse that I know you're very familiar with. I might could try to quote it, but probably would miss it. Over in 1 John, Brother Land used to call it Little John. One of the 1 John, chapter 2. I know you're familiar with this verse. He says this in 1 John chapter 2. He says in verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Pretty plain, isn't it? "For all," and this is 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. He says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." And here's the important thing we want to remember. "And the world passeth away." And how quick it goes. You know, have you ever thought, "Boy, if I had this, I'd be happy"? And you get so, you say, "What am I going to do with that thing I thought I had to have? I got to find somebody that, you know," because I tell you, our health is from the Lord. My eyesight is from the Lord. My hearing is from the Lord. My taste is from the Lord. My feeling, my touch is from the Lord. The house that the Lord's blessed me with is from the Lord. The food that's on my table is from the Lord. The clothes that are on my back are from the Lord. The money, how little or much of it is that's in my pocket, is what He's allowed me to have and given to me. Everything that I have that's in this world, that's of this world, all good things that have been are that which are God's gift unto us. And I need to recognize that every day, every moment, every second that I live, that I did not deserve one single thing, but I sit at the hand of a God who has blessed me. Hasn't He been good to us? Oh my goodness. We sat down with the family last night. It was a blessed time to have all the, you know, my immediate family at the table, and Sharon had fixed a bunch of stuff, and everybody, you know, had something that they liked, and we sat there, and it, little ones were there and behaving well too. I was thankful for them. But I'm telling you, the moment old Gary sits back and says, "Boy, look what I got here. Look how good I done. How good that all fall apart. Because what we had last night wasn't anything but a work of God's grace and a miracle. That we could sit together. We even talked politics and got along. Can you believe that? You know? I'll tell you, that's all right. And I'm saying, we sat there, and there was a love of Almighty God that we felt in that family and that home, And that love, I believe, has changed us as a family, as individuals, and collectively we were able to enjoy the fellowship of the Lord at a table. And I'm telling you right now, every time you have that, anytime you have that, don't miss that. Those are blessings God is giving you for that moment and that time. And you sometimes you say, well, not everything's always right. Well, I'm sure if that wasn't everything all right, I can tell you right now, because of who we are, that wasn't everything all right right then. But I was thankful for what we had. And it looked good because it was covered in the blood of Jesus. It was covered in the grace of Almighty God. But I'm telling, the job that I've enjoyed for almost 30 years now has been a blessing from the Lord. The fellowship I've had in this church has been a blessing from the Lord. The individual kinship we have with one another in the Lord is a blessing from the Lord. Gary's not deserved it. None of us have deserved it, merited it, or earned it. God has been so good to me. And God forbid I ever get to the mind where I say to Him, just give me what's coming to me, Lord. I want to do my thing. I want to remember where every good thing comes from. See, God's little children can get in trouble. This is a son of God who says, Lord, give me what's coming to me. Hear His words. He says, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of goods that falleth to me. I'll tell you, that's a very, very strange prayer to ask of your father, isn't it? God, give me. You know, would any of us dare say, God, just give me what's coming to me? Would we say that? Oh, I hope we'd be scared to death to say that. I hope. But you know, there are some men that aren't. There are some men, and you and I get like that. You know when we get like that? When we start thinking life's treated us unfair. That I've got, this road's a little too hard. I don't know why I've got to go through this. I've got a health issue that I don't understand why I have to have that issue. I've got a financial problem, and I don't really understand why I have to deal with this. Other people don't deal with this. I know a whole lot of bad people out there in the world that don't have to go through this and don't have to go through that. They live like anything, do anything, act anyway, and they don't have any problems. Why? I'm trying to do this, and I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to follow Him. Why am I having this problem? I'm telling you, when we get like that in our thinking, we become like this young man who said, give me what's coming to me. I'm going another way. I'm going another direction. And what he said, he divided, and the Lord graciously divided unto him his living. What that means is God still takes care of His children. He still gives us so many things. You know, the sun didn't have to come up this morning. Aren't you glad it did? I'm very thankful. If you were waiting on me to bring up that sun, you'd have been disappointed. And if I was waiting on you, I'd be disappointed, because I don't have that power and I don't have that ability. There's a whole lot of people that did not deserve for the sun to come up. You know who they are? It's me and you and you and you and you and all of us. He did that by His very grace. You believe that, don't you? I'm telling you, the day that we have today, this isn't a day we deserve. God's been gracious to us. He's given me today. I didn't deserve it, but He's been so good to me. And I want to remember that, because the minute I don't remember that, I'll get dissatisfied with what God has given me, and I'll start thinking I'm deserving more than what I've got. And you know what you get when you do that? You get discontent. And that's a sad place for God's little children to be. You know, the Apostle Paul said he's learned whatever state he was in to be what? Content. And he said, if I've got contentment, godliness, which is a commitment to serve God. That's what that is. By the way, I can't give you that, but God works that in you. And then you and I, to put it on, I want to be today, by the grace of God, by what He's put into me, I want to be contented to serve Him, and I want to have that commitment to serve Him. And then if I'm content with the state I'm in and I've got godliness, you know what that means? I've got great gain. More gain than if you had everything this old world has to afford. Sometimes we think, you know, if I could have this, I have that, I'd have it made. Boy, if I could get that Reader's Digest guy to come to my house and knock on the door and say, you got $7,000 every week for the rest of your life. I'm sitting there thinking, boy, you know, I know some things I could really do with that. I'd be in good shape. Let me tell you something. And I'm not gonna lie to you. When I get those little free things, I click on that. Yeah, if I can just click on that, you know, I click it. So y'all liable to see it. Come on, pulling up to my door. That would be, you know, I'm not saying I'm going to say, get out of here, go away. But I'm telling you what, if my contentment and my peace and my rest is based on that, or based on it, even if I could win it, even if I could, if it would work out that I had it, I'm telling you, it may be the worst thing that ever happened to me. We see evidence of that over and over again in this world. I'm telling you, He's blessed us so much. We ought to, every one of us today, sit back like I remember little Brother Moore and Sister Moore doing when I'd walk into their house, and there that little sister would be sitting on that old brother's lap, and they'd be singing together. I'd hear it. They didn't wait to say, the preacher's coming, we're going to start singing. No, I'd come and they were singing. I just showed up and saw what was going on in that home. That was a little home, just a little place, but I'm telling you, there was contentment in that house, and they were sitting there singing, "The Lord has been so good to me. I want to praise His name." And I saw as a young man, a dear little couple that loved the Lord and was as much in love and when they left this world as they ever were in their life. And it meant so very much to me. And you know what I saw? I saw those that had the robe of righteousness on. And that robe was nothing but a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the testimony of Christ. I saw a man that had a ring on his finger, which meant I'm a child of God, so whatever He gives me on my table, I'm happy with it. Wherever He leads me, I want to follow. Whatever He's done for me, whatever measure of health He's given me, or what I don't have, I don't want to complain. I want to be thankful for what God has done for me. And he understood I'm a child of the King, which means whatever I have in this old world, God's strength will be enough for me for time. And when it comes time to leave this old world, I got a wonderful place to be where all the pain and the trouble is going to be over. And his hope was in the Lord. And he had shoes on his feet. That means he put on the gospel. And he lived the gospel and he walked the gospel. It was a part of his life. It was part of who he was. It wasn't what he preached on Sunday. It's what he preached every day of the week. It's what he lived. It's how he, that's how he hugged his children and corrected them. It's how he loved his wife. It's how he lived his life. Now, I'm not honoring man or giving man glory, because I'm telling you, if God hadn't given us a robe, we wouldn't have one to wear. If God hadn't given us shoes, we wouldn't have shoes to put on. If God hadn't given us a ring, His love had not been upon us, we'd never have that even to share. And every good thing we've got has come from the Lord. But because He's given us much, it is our duty and our responsibility to put it on and to wear it the best we can to the glory of God. And sit back and eat the fatted calf and be merry. That's what we do today. What do you mean? It means we talk about Jesus. We talk about His love and His mercy and His grace. I'll tell you, the love of Jesus will make you love your mama more than you've ever loved her. The love of Jesus will make a mother love her children more than they've ever loved them. The love of Jesus will make a man love his wife better than he'd ever loved her before, and a wife love her husband. It'll make them forgive when forgiveness is necessary. It'll cause them to know how to live in this world, to be a good neighbor and to be a good person in the community, to be a pillar among the children of God, and to be a light in this world and a salt in this earth. And if he forgets that, he isn't worth his salt. Because a man without the Lord is nothing and cannot help anyone. And God's little children have the ability to shine as lights in this world because of what Jesus has done for us. He many days, he said, he divided unto his living. Verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Listen, little child of God. If you ever get to feeling like I'm missing a whole lot of what the world's got to offer, and listen, I've been young and now I'm old. And some of you would say, well, you're not old yet. And some of you would say, yeah, you old. I got fifth graders who tell me it every day, you just old. You, Mr. Hoot, you just old. They're just honest. And they tell you what they think. And to them, I am real old. And to some, I might not be. I know some will tell me, don't be calling yourself old. I'm going to probably get corrected before I leave here today. And I love that and appreciate that. But I'm telling you, there is nothing in this world like fellowship with the Lord. There's nothing that'll get you through the good times and enjoy them well. And there's nothing that'll allow you to have peace in the midst of trouble than to know I have a friend in Jesus. and I can look to Him in the storms of life, and I can lean upon Him. When I messed up, I have Him to forgive me. When I need Him, He's that friend. He's that arm. He's my strength. He's my help. And then lose that and forget about Him. And some days we have, as I look back over my life, and I see it, and there are times that we fail to look to Him. We don't lean on Him. And oh, what a mess we are. What a mess we are to others around us. What a mess we are to our church. What a mess we are to... We need to look to Him. That's the message here, that we can't live. You and I, the world can live in the world and get along just fine. God's little children need fellowship with the Master. You need fellowship with the Lord. And the prodigal son, and you and I will learn that lesson if we try to go out in the world and just, you know, I got to make my mark. I'll tell you what our mark is. We are dead in sin and trespasses. We died in Adam. And all that we'll ever bring forth without the Lord Jesus Christ is death. When sin is finished, what does it bring forth? It brings forth death. And there's no goodness in me. There's nothing I can do. There's no goodness I can do outside of the blood of Jesus and through the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, and when they had spent all, doesn't take long to spend all in this world, does it? You get out there and think, boy, I'm going to have my good time. I'm going to tell you, sin has massive repercussions. Sin brings forth heartache and sickness and emptiness and broken lives, broken hearts, broken people. Sin, as you look at it and what it's done to this old world, what a mess. You know why this world is in such a mess? It's because sin is running rampant in this world. And the old sin that's in us doesn't make us better, doesn't help us get along, does it? Oh, it makes us weary. Doesn't you find it make you weary? Won't it be good one day when we're free of it? Won't it be good when we really are... We are dead to it now in the sense we're dead to the full power and effect of it that it once had the rule and the dominion of our life. But what a day it will be when we're completely free. And that's one of the beauties of being with the Lord in glory, is that we'll be finally free of this old body of sin. The old Apostle Paul talked about it this way. He said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" That's what he talked about. He said, "When I would do good, I find evil present with me. And when I would, and even with the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And the things I do want to do, I find I don't do them." Does that sound familiar to you? And he said, oh, what a day it'll be when we're finally free of all of that. That doesn't mean we ought to just give up. It means we ought to try to be living the best we can. But we'll fight that battle. He said, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. Now, a beautiful picture here of all the organizations and things of this world that have an answer for men in trouble and for women in trouble. Listen, somebody, a little child of God, awakens to his terrible state out in this world. There's all kinds of people willing to say, "Look, you go my way and I can help you out." They'll lead you down some path that does not teach what the Bible, that is not in accord with God's Word. There's not many ways for God's little children to go. There's one way. Jesus is that way. There are not many truths to believe. A lot of people say, "Look, I can help you out." All you have to do is reform your life. All you have to do is start living right, getting better. Start thinking right. Get over your depression. Here, you can take this pill. It'll make you feel better. Or, and sometimes we may need medication for some things. I'm not downing that altogether. I'm simply saying to you, if our answer is going to be solely in those things, there's no help in that. As a matter of fact, you won't get better. Some think, you know, come along and drink here with me. And we'll be free of that. But when you get finished with that, what are you left with? You're left with a hangover, aren't you? And you get up in the morning and you say, "The only thing that's going to make me feel better is another one." And the next thing you know, your life is ruined, your money's gone, your family's broken up, your heart is sick and your heart is broken. You say, somebody will look at him and say, "That couldn't be a little child of God." Let me tell you this. There are many of God's little troubled children out here in this world. Don't you think you can walk along in this world? That's what the Pharisees were doing. They thought they could point to those sinners and publicans. Why is Jesus talking to them? You know why he was talking to them? Because among those sinners and publicans are you and me. He's talking to them because they are His children, and He's giving them the answer. And the answer is not, you go to the citizens of this world, they're just going to feed you a slop, and you can't eat it. You're not going to get anything from it. There's a lot of religious slop in this world. All you have to do is turn the dial and listen to it. They'll talk about how men can just straighten themselves up and get themselves right. They'll tell you, if you'll do this, you'll do that, you'll do this, God, you'll be happy. And God, you'll have fellowship with God. Many of God's little children today are trying to get good enough and live good enough so that God will have fellowship with them. You know what they are? They're just sick. They're hurt. Does that mean they're not His children? No, but it means they're in the bondage. They're still hungry. Listen, you listen to that, it's not going to feed you. There are many who think, well, you go after this intellectualism. I'll just get smart enough so I'll feel better. You know what that does? It just puffs man up. And the big boy gets puffed up, the more he thinks of himself, the less he can see the truth. The blinder he becomes. And the more his eyes are shut. Why? Because these things are hidden to whom? The wise and prudent. You know who they're revealed to? Little babes. You know the only help this man found? He didn't find it in the citizens of this world. Listen, little child of God, you won't find it in the citizens of this world either. There's only one place you can go. Jesus said what that was. He said what? Come unto me. Who? All ye that labor and are heavy laden. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the poor. He's talking to the halt. He's talking to the maimed. He's talking to the blind. He's talking to God's little children whose hearts been touched, who've been made aware and sensible of their sin. And He's saying to them, you come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And He said, you come and I'll give you life. Listen, He's already given you life. If you're aware of that and know you need to come, He's already given you life. But He said, I'll give you rest. A lot of God's children don't have rest today. You ever talk to them? A lot of them don't have rest. They're troubled. They're scared to death. They're scared to die and scared to live. Because they're just eating the husks that are fed to the swine. And that doesn't mean they're not His children. Doesn't mean they're not God's children. Matter of fact, you see an evidence. This was a son, wasn't it? This was a son. And he still is a son. He never lost being a son. But he didn't have peace until he came to the only place he could find true peace. And that's the Father's house. And that's to the Father. It says when he came to himself. And I know our time is gone. He said when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? You know, you just think about those who are truly happy that you see. I feel you're happy this morning. I hope I'm not deceived about that. And I know sometimes you might not be happy. But when we're trusting in the Lord, we're happy, aren't we? Have you found that to be the case? My happiness is not based on anything else outwardly. When I'm resting in the Lord, I'm fine. And when I start trusting in something else, I'm messing up. And I go in that battle in and out all the time. And I come to church so I might hear again, get trusting in the Lord. I want to lean on Him. I want to trust in Him. I want to depend on Him. For what? Everything. Everything natural. Everything spiritual. Everything about life and everything about death. I don't want to trust in Him because I think I deserve anything. That's the elder son. He said, I've been here all the time, done everything you told me, and you've never made for me a fatted calf. You've never had what they're having down there. You haven't given me all those things. I've been right here. I've been putting in the time. And this guy comes in and hadn't done anything, and you do all of this for him. You haven't done anything for me. And the father said to that son, everything that I have has been yours all the time. You've had it all the time. He was so puffed up in his own self that he couldn't get it. You know how you enjoy the good things of the Lord? By realizing I don't deserve any of them. You know how to really get a good meal when you come to church? Recognize I don't know anything, Lord, and I need to learn and I need to grow. Feed me and look to Him. Don't look anywhere else. Trust in Him. Don't trust in the preacher. Lean on Him. Depend upon Him. And when you do that, you'll find He'll feed you abundantly above anything you could even ask or think. He'll even bless a preacher that you think can't preach a lick or really preach a bunch. and you go, oh, I know good and well that didn't come from him because it ain't in him. I've had many a time. I remember sitting down one time listening to Brother Stanley Cato when he got done. I went up to him and I said, Brother Stanley, I know none of that come out of you because I know you, boy. And he said, yeah, you and I know each other pretty well. And he teared up. It comes from the Lord. If you get any good thing, it comes from the Lord. That little servant, that's who the ministers are. That prodigal son came home and he said, just make me one of your hired servants. Do you notice the father answered all his prayer except that one? Because he don't make his sons hired servants. His sons are his sons. No matter what they've done, no matter where they've been, no matter who they are, they belong to him and they'll never be his servants, hired servants. They'll be his sons. He calls his hired servants then and he says to those ministers, I believe that's, you know, and that picture of the minister's pretty good because the ministers, by the way, some people think the minister ought to be the boss. No, he's a servant. Some people think the minister, well, he's in charge. I know there's a position God puts him in and places him in, but the minister who thinks he's in charge is never going to help the church. He's going to hurt the church. What he needs to do is understand, if I've got anything, Lord, you've got to give it to me. I'm a servant to the church. I'm not in charge. I'm not the boss. There's one in head, and that head is not down here with us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am only a servant to declare him. And I declare him. I want to declare him. And you know, when you tell God's children about him, you tell them about the robe they've got to put on. You see, you can't trust in your righteousness, but I'm telling you, there's one who's clothed you with a righteousness you can wear every day. You put on that breastplate of righteousness. You put on that best robe. You wear it. Not your goodness, his goodness. You don't declare your goodness, declare his goodness. Don't trust in your goodness, your righteousness, trust in his. My righteousness is but as filthy rags. But I'm telling you, you can look at his righteousness and you won't find one blemish, one spot in it, because he was without fault and without blemish. And he's washed you in his own blood. He didn't wash you a little bit. He didn't wash you part of the way. He didn't wash you as much as he could, and that's up to you. What can wash away my sins? We sang it. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And he said, bring forth that best robe, put it on him. Put a ring. He saw him. There's much more here. Time's gone. He saw him put the ring on him, the robe, the shoes on his feet, every one of those things. We mentioned them a little bit along the way. All of them are nothing but pointing to Jesus Christ. When he says put on the whole armor of God, he's saying put on Christ. Every part that he's giving you, that whole complete armor, and to trust completely and wholly in what he's done for you. And then it's time to get married. And that fatted calf is nothing more than picturing the shed blood of Christ and what it's done for us. And can we eat of that? You better believe we can eat of his body and drink of his blood. We realize that's our fellowship. That's our communion. That's our everything. That's my hope. That's our only ability in this world to live in a way to honor God or to die and go to heaven is only through the blood of Jesus. But that's a sufficient supply that we can live with and die by in peace and rest. Come unto me. And I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me. That's what we're doing this morning. And you'll find what? Rest. Hope you found some rest. And just simply the truth of what the Lord's done for you. And depend and trust and lean on him. And as we do that, well, we make merry. One of the merriest places on the face of the earth that I've found is among a little group of old Baptists where they're singing and they're preaching and they're praying and they're loving one another. Now, I've been among some old Baptists where they're feuding and fighting. That's about as bad a place to be as you can be. But when they're doing what the Lord would have them to do, oh, that's a lovely, lovely time. I think it's the closest thing that we'll ever enjoy to heaven. I believe it's like a little heaven here below. We have hymns that say that too, don't we? Many, many blessings the Lord shared with us while we're here in this world. It's time to quit. I'm not done, but we're going to stop. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. We love you. I love you, my brother. God bless you.